Dasarathi returned to Kanchipuram and he explained everything to his Guru Maharaj, Ramanujam. He has sent me and told me that you will explain this verse to me. At that time, the daughter of Mahapurna, whose name was Atulai, she came in Ramanuja's presence in a very distressed condition. She poured out her heart before Ramanuja. She said, "My father, Mahapurna, he doesn't know how to deal with this crisis situation in life. He has told me to approach you. Maybe you can help me." She said, "I am married, and my in-laws are mistreating me and harassing me, and it's become unbearable." She said, "They make me go over a mile away to collect water in buckets, back and forth. And because of my weak and frail body, it's so painful. By the time I come back with that water, I'm totally exhausted. And then they expect me to do all the cooking and all the cleaning and all the housework. And because I cannot do it according to their expectations, they chastise me. They said, 'Why have your father not sent a cook? Why had he sent such a useless soul as you? You cannot even do the basic duties of your work.'" She said, "This is what I have to undergo every day." Ramanujacharya looked at Dasarathi, who was there to find out about Sarvadharma and Parityaja. And he said to Atulai, "You see this Brahmin here? Take him with you. He will carry the water all the day. He will do the cleaning and he will do all the cooking in the house." The greatest scholar, Dasarathi, accepted his guru's words as his life and soul. He went to the village and became the cook for this family. And he would go every day back and forth with buckets of water to carry it for the cooking and the washing. And he would clean up menial services. And whenever the family was dissatisfied with him, they would chastise him. And he would just very humbly accept the chastisement of these very, very ordinary materialistic people and just tolerate it and try to correct himself according to their expectations and serve. Why? Because that was the order of his Guru Maharaj. This went on for about a year. He was cooking, he was carrying water, he was cleaning. One day, when he was carrying the water, a Vaishnav came to the town and in a public place was speaking from the scriptures. But what he was saying was tainted with Mayavad philosophy. And although Dasarathi was totally in disguise as a menial, humble servant of the family, he could not tolerate this. And after the Vaishnav spoke, he said that actually what you are saying is not correct. It's like this. Oh, and that Vaishnav, he became outraged. He said, "What is this? Who is this? Go back to your kitchen and clean your pots, you menial cook. What right do you have to speak philosophy to me? I am an orator of the science of Siddhanta." And Dasarathi very mildly, humbly explained how what he was saying is wrong. He quoted such scripture, with such logic, with such compassion, with such a perfect presentation, that everyone was spellbound. The Vaishnav orator fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. And everyone around fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. And said, "You are the greatest scholar that we have ever heard. Your heart is full of such pure compassion. You're a saint. What are you doing carrying water and cooking for this materialistic family?" And he said, "I am simply carrying out the order of my Guru Maharaj, because the order of the spiritual master is one's life and soul." And then they all figured out, this is the famous scholar, Dasarathi, who everyone knows, who everyone respects. But he was hiding himself. When that was revealed, they asked him, "What are you doing here? You are the great Dasarathi. What are you doing?" He said, "It is the order of Gurudev." So the mother and father of Atulai, as well as all the leaders of the town, they all went to Sri Rangam and fell at the feet of Ramanujacharya and begged him, "Please, this Dasarathi, he shouldn't be doing this kind of work, just cleaning pots and cooking for mundane people. Please bring him back to Sri Rangam. He's such a great person." Ramanujacharya was so pleased with Dasarathi's humble service that along with the people, Ramanujacharya went to that village. Dasarathi fell at his feet. Ramanujacharya picked him up and embraced him. He said, "I am most pleased by your devotional service. Now I will reveal to you the innermost secret of Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tvam Sarvapapebhyo Mokshayi Samimasucha." And Dasarathi was very happy. One great disciple of Yamunacharya named Maladhara . He was a dear friend of Mahapurna. Mahapurna told Ramanujacharya that he has mastered particular scriptures. You should learn from him. So Ramanuja went and very humbly listened. But once Ramanuja gave an explanation which was not exactly the same as Maladhara, and Maladhara left. He said, "What kind of student gives a different interpretation than the teacher? This is not proper." So it was actually Gostipurna. Gostipurna asked Maladhara, how was your teachings to Ramanuja? He told him what happened. He said, "Please don't consider him an ordinary person. I know him very well. He knows the heart of Yamunacharya so intimately and dearly. Whatever, even though I am Yamunacharya's disciple, and even though I have given the mantra to Ramanujacharya, when he speaks, I always hear the essence of the voice of Yamunacharya speaking through him." So Maladhara returned to give lessons to Ramanujacharya. And another time, Ramanujacharya gave an explanation which was slightly different. But this time Maladhara listened very carefully and with tears of love in his eyes directly heard Yamunacharya speaking through him. Ramanujacharya was becoming very famous. His fame was spreading throughout the entire land. Practically all of southern India was speaking of nothing but Ramanujacharya. Thousands of people of all classes were coming from all directions to take shelter of him, to learn from him. One of the high priests of the Ranganath temple, who was making a lot of money and who was very popular, became envious of Ramanuja because his fame and popularity was exceeding his own. He decided Ramanuja must die. He invited Ramanujacharya to his home for prasad. And he told his wife that there is a deadly poison enough to kill 10 men. I don't have to tell you what to do. You know what to do. So it is an obedient wife who had the same mentality as her husband, very envious. She put poison in the food. And according to the invitation, Ramanujacharya arrived at the house. But when he arrived, the wife saw him. He was so gentle, so humble, so respectful, so full of love and compassion, that just by seeing him, her heart melted. She served the food to Ramanujacharya, and she said, "Please, do not eat this." She put it down and said, "It is my husband's order to serve you this food. I cannot disobey his order, but please, I beg you, do not eat this. Because if you do, you will die." Ramanujacharya was stunned. He left the place. And on the banks of the Kaveri, he met with Gostipurna and told him what happened. And he said, "What is it about me?" This is Ramanujacharya's heart. "What is it about me that is so bad that people are envious and want to kill me? What is this impurity? What is this bad quality in me that he wants to kill me? And I feel such great sympathy for him that his heart is burning with this great fire of envy. How can this high priest be delivered?" Gostipurna said, "Because you are praying to Ranganath for him, he will be delivered." The priest came home and asked his wife, "Did he eat the food?" She said, "No, I told him." The priest couldn't chastise his wife because he knew that as a woman she had a very soft heart. Cannot blame her. So he made another plan. The next evening, he put enough poison to kill 10 grown men in Charanamrit and gave that to Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya in his heart knew that the Charanamrit was poisoned. But he felt because it's Charanamrit, it's the foot wash of the Lord, even though there's poison in it, I cannot refuse it. It would be an offense to the Lord. This was his love for Charanamrit. So he drank it. And he prayed to Ranganath to protect him. And as he was thinking, meditating on Ranganath in this way, he went into ecstasy and his limbs were trembling. And the high priest was thinking, limbs trembling, the poison is working. Tomorrow morning I will see the flames and the smoke of his funeral pyre. But the next day morning, the high priest was coming to the temple and he heard hundreds and hundreds of people chanting Ramanujacharya's glories. And then he saw right in the middle, where everyone was in a circle around him, Ramanujacharya was sitting in meditation, effulgent with illustrious spiritual beauty. At that point, the high priest realized the greatness of Ramanujacharya and fell at Ramanujacharya's feet, begging forgiveness. He felt so guilty that he tried to kill such a great saint that he was beating his head against the rocks in the ground until his entire head was bleeding and blood was flowing all over on the ground. And then he started ripping his chest with his hand. He was beating his chest so hard and ripping it with his nails that his whole body was covered with blood. I have tried to kill a saint. Please curse me, kill me, and let me go to hell for my sins. Ramanujacharya came out of his samadhi and saw him in that way and put his hand on his head and said, "You are forgiven. Sri Ranganath has forgiven you." Seeing the compassion of this great soul, the high priest surrendered to Ramanujacharya and became his disciple. Should I continue? There was a great scholar named Yajnamurti. He was a Digvijay Pandit. The Mayavadi. He came to Sri Rangam especially to challenge Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya said, "I have no business in debates and arguments. Before we even begin, I declare that you are the winner, I am the loser, I will sign any documents you have. But why should we debate?" "Oh, then you accept that the form of God is an illusion? His pastimes are an illusion? His abode is an illusion? That bhakti is ultimately an illusion? That the only one supreme truth is the formless Brahman that has no qualities and everything else is Maya? You accept that?" Ramanujacharya had to enter into the debate. But this man was a great debater. They argued for 17 days, and neither one could defeat the other. At the end of 17 days, Ramanujacharya was feeling very despondent, and he went to Ranganath Mandir and stood before the deity. I'm sorry. He went to the deity of his own ashram. The name of that deity was Devaraj, just outside the Ranganath temple. And he prayed to Devaraj that this Mayavadi philosophy is like a dark cloud that's covering the real knowledge of the scriptures. So many people are being bewildered by this Mayavad philosophy and being cheated of your eternal loving service. But in this age of Kali, it is so powerful. It is so powerful that I am not able to defeat this person. Please save the world of this Mayavad philosophy." And Devaraj then spoke to Ramanujacharya. He said, "Ramanuja, you will be victorious. You will dissipate the cloud of illusion of Mayavad and establish pure devotional service within this world." Then Ramanujacharya became ecstatic. The next day when they came for the debate, Ramanuja came to the ashram of Yajnamurti and he was effulgent and blissful. And Yajnamurti was thinking, "Why are you so blissful? Last night we were despondent. What is this? You're so tolerant, you're so compassionate, you're so blissful. I surrender to you." And Yajnamurti said, "No more argument, no door to me. I become a Vaishnava. I become your disciple. I surrender." And Ramanujacharya understood that he didn't do anything. It was the Lord within his heart that transformed him. And he initiated him and gave him the name Devaraj Muni, named after the Murti that delivered him. Sometime later, four young men who were very serious about spiritual life came to Ramanujacharya begging for initiation. Please listen carefully. Are you still awake? Because in the darkness, I cannot see your eyes. I don't know if you're sleeping or awake. I don't even know if you're there. You are just like one homogeneous transcendental sangam of devotees where I cannot understand who is who. It's very blissful, actually. So these four men came to Ramanuja and said, please, we want to take initiation from you. And Ramanuja said that you should go to Devaraj Muni. He is a learned scholar and he is a pure devotee of Lord Narayan. Accept him as your guru and take initiation. So the four men went to Devaraj Muni. Devaraj Muni became very perturbed. He came back to his guru Maharaj, Ramanuja. Said, why are you doing this to me? He said, my whole life I have been embroiled in the fire of false ego. Now that I've become a devotee, it is the battle of my life to somehow subdue my false pride. I'm fighting against vanity like anything. I know that I cannot attain love for Krishna as long as there's a trace of vanity or pride in my heart. But my whole life I have been cultivating it, developing it, and nourishing it. And now I'm trying to deal with it. I'm trying to be the most humble, menial servant of the servant of your servants, and now you're sending people to me to be my disciples, where they're going to obey me, they're going to surrender to me, they're going to offer prayers to me, they're going to glorify me. This is like poison for me. I'm not worthy. I'm still too much puffed up. Please save me. Are you trying to test me, or are you serious? Ramanujacharya said to Devaraj Muni, I was testing you to see if you still had the desire for prestige and recognition, but you have passed the test. Now you remain living with me for the rest of your life as the servant of the servant of the servant. And Devaraj Muni was very grateful and happy. Shri Ramanujacharya ki jai. One day, Sripad Ramanujacharya was reading the prayers of Nam Alwar, describing the glories of Tirupati, which is Vaikuntha on earth, and how Lord Venkateshwar finds great pleasure being decorated with flowers. He asked his disciples, is there anyone amongst you who is willing to leave Sri Rangam and live the rest of your life in Tirupati, cultivating a garden to offer flowers to Balaji? There was dead silence. Who wants to leave Sri Rangam, where Guru Maharaj is living and speaking every day? Who wants to leave the nice temperate climate to live on top of a mountain where it's very cold in the winter? And in those days, it was a thick, dense forest with wild animals everywhere. Dead silence. Then one very simple and humble devotee named Anantacharya raised his hand and said, Guru Maharaj, if it is your wish that I go to Tirupati with your blessings, I will go and stay for the rest of my life. Ramanujacharya was so happy. He got up and embraced Anantacharya and said, you are my life and soul. There is no one more dear to me than you, because you are willing to make such sacrifice to assist me in the service of the Lord. You are the greatest amongst men. And immediately, Anantacharya with his wife made their residence on the top of the hill of Tirumala to worship the Venkateshwar with flowers. Last night we spoke that story. Or was it the night before? Ramanujacharya wanted to visit Anantacharya. And he also wanted to go on pilgrimage to Tirupati. So he told his followers that we will go on a pilgrimage to visit Sri Venkateshwar in Tirupati. On the way, they stopped in several places. One place was Astasahasra. Ramanujacharya had two disciples there, Yagnesh and Varadacharya. Yagesh was a very wealthy merchant. Sri Ramanujacharya, in the outskirts of town, sent two of his disciples to Yagesh's house to inform him that Ramanujacharya and his entourage would like to come and spend the night at your home. Oh, Yagesh was so happy and grateful. Immediately he was calling his servants, prepare this prasad, prepare this boga, fix this bed, fix this pando, make these decorations, make garlands. He was just going all over the house telling everyone to do so much. He was so excited. Guru Maharaj is coming. Guru Maharaj is coming. Sri Ramanujacharya is coming to stay at our house. Let us make it a glorious reception. He was running in all directions and getting every servant and every family member just busy, busy, busy to receive Ramanujacharya. But in the excitement, he did not even offer a sitting place or a glass of water to the two disciples who came with the news. So they returned to Ramanujacharya. They said that Yagyesh is making grand arrangements for your reception. Ramanuja was not concerned with that. He asked, how did he treat you? Said he was so busy making arrangements for you, he completely ignored us. He didn't even give us a place to sit. Didn't even give us water. Ramanujacharya was disgusted with Yajnesh. He said, we will not go to his house. If he is not properly serving my servants, there is no possibility of him pleasing me with any arrangements. Then they went to the house of Varadacharya. Now Varadacharya was a very poor man. He had nothing. In fact, he used to just go out to beg to get food for him and his wife. His wife's name was Lakshmi. So when Ramanujacharya came to the house, Varadacharya was out begging door to door. and only Lakshmi was home. And she was shocked. Here's our Guru Maharaj, Ramanujacharya, with all his topmost disciples that come to my house. And she sat them down. And she was, let me cook them a feast. But then she looked in the kitchen. There was not a single grain of rice. What to do? So she told Ramanujacharya and all his disciples that please go to the pukur and take your bath. And while you're taking bath, I will prepare your prasad. While they were taking bath, she was wondering what to do. My guru and my husband's guru is at my home. I must serve him properly, but I have nothing to offer. But then she remembered. There was a very wealthy man who was young and handsome, who had terrible lust for Lakshmi. Again and again, he offered Lakshmi all sorts of wealth if she would be enjoyed by him. But being a chaste and faithful wife, even though her husband had nothing, she always totally rejected him and ignored him. Again and again and again, he tried to seduce her. But she never reciprocated. So he was beginning to give up hope. But Lakshmi Devi ran out the back door. And she went to that wealthy man's house and went right into his inner quarters. And she told him that tonight I will be enjoyed by you. But you just do this one thing for me. My Guru Maharaj has come to my house and I have nothing to offer him. Please send all the bhoga and facilities for me to cook a wonderful feast for him, and then I will do anything you want tonight. He was jubilant. It was the fulfillment of years of his longing to enjoy this beautiful woman. He sent most delectable grains and vegetables and fruits and spices. And she prepared an incredible feast and served it to Ramanuja and all of the disciples that came with him. And in the middle of it all, Varadraj comes home with a little bag of chipped rice that he went out begging to get. And he sees his Guru Maharaj in his house. Ah! Ramanujacharya, Gurudev, you were in my house. And he saw Kuresh and Dasarathi and all these disciples. And he saw they were all eating a succulent feast of so many opulent preparations. And his wife was serving it. He was bewildered. He said, how is this possible? He approached his wife and said, what's happening? How has he come? And where did you get this prasad? And Lakshmi put her head down in great shame. And she explained, you know that notorious, low-class, lusty man? I told him that I would spend the night with him. Because I was thinking that service of the Guru is above anything else. Even if I have to go to hell, I must serve my Guru Maharaj properly. Varadacharya became ecstatic. He said, I am so fortunate to have a wife like you, who has so much faith and devotion to our spiritual master. I am proud of you. And I fully, fully respect and adore the decision that you made to serve our Guru Maharaj. Then Varadacharya and Lakshmi both told Ramanujacharya about what had transpired. You still awake? Ramanujacharya took the remnants of his Maha Maha Prasad and he fed Lakshmi and Varadacharya. And he also took the remnants of their Maha 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 Prasad that were the remnants of Ramanujacharya. He said, you both go this evening to this rich merchant and give him this prasad. So the two of them went. Varadacharya waited outside the door and Lakshmi went inside to the inner quarters. And she gave him Ramanujacharya's Mahaprasad. He ate that prasad. Just by eating that prasad, his heart changed. He no longer looked at Lakshmi with lust, but he looked at Lakshmi as the most respectable mother. Amazing. He said, I am ashamed of how I have treated you. Now, I adore you like a mother. I have no desire to enjoy you. I'll give you whatever you want to serve your Guru Maharaj unconditionally. They said, Ramanujacharya wants us to bring you back to meet him. That person was transformed by the power of Mahaprasad and by the power of Lakshmi's unalloyed devotion. That merchant came and fell at the feet of Ramanujacharya and begged forgiveness for his sins and surrendered his life at the lotus feet. Meanwhile, there was a wonderful festival going on. All the devotees were so happy. And Yajnesh was still waiting for Ramanujacharya and his entourage to come, but they never came. Then he heard that they were at Varadacharya's house. So Yajnesh came to Varadacharya's house and he fell at the feet of Ramanujacharya. He didn't know what happened. He said, your servant said you were coming. I made every type of preparation. We made big feasts. We made decorations, garlands, everything. But you never came. Why didn't you come, Guru Maharaj? And Ramanujacharya said very sternly, because you mistreated my servants. Now please understand that these two devotees that went were not high-ranking personalities in his entourage. They were just simple devotees. But because he did not properly respect, honor, and serve the most simple messengers, Ramanujacharya could not accept his service. This is the Vaishnav Siddhanta. Servant of the servant of the servant. You cannot please Krishna by approaching him directly unless you please his devotees. And you cannot please the spiritual master by approaching him directly unless you're humbly eager to serve the devotees. That is the principle of the spiritual world. Yajnesh repented and begged forgiveness, fell at his feet. Give me another chance, Gurudev. Ramanujacharya said, on the way back from Tirupati, we will stop at your house. He stopped in Kanchipuram where we are sitting for 3 days. And there enjoy the nectar of Kanchipurna's association, and then went to Tirupati. We told the story how Ramanujacharya remained at the bottom of the hill, and when Anantacharya came down and saw him lecturing there, he asked, "Why don't you come up to see Balaji?" He said, "Tirupati, this hill is the body of Anantashesha. It is Vaikuntha. How can I touch it with my feet? I will contaminate it." But Anantacharya and the priests who came down, they said, "If you do not come up, then what is our qualification to be up there? Then no one will ever go up there to do seva for Balaji ever again. You must show the standard by coming up and performing the service." So although he was so humble, for the sake of encouraging the Vaishnavas, he went to the top of Tirupati. And when Ramanujacharya saw the beautiful form of Balaji, he fainted, unconscious, in transcendental ecstasy of love of God. And he remained for 1 year on the bottom of the hill, studying Sri Ramayana from Shailapurna. During that time at Shailapurna's ashram, Govinda, his cousin, brother, was still living with him. And he was seeing that Govinda was doing very mysterious things. Would you like to know some of those things? Govinda was the humble servant of Shailapurna. At night Ramanujacharya would see, he would make Shailapurna's bed, and then he would lay on the bed. And then he would get up and offer to his Gurudev. So Ramanujacharya told Shailapurna, "This is not etiquette." So Shailapurna said to Govinda, "This is not proper. Do you not know that to lay on your guru's bed or to wear his shoes is a great offense? Why are you doing this?" And Govinda explained, "Because I want to make sure your bed is perfectly comfortable. I want to make sure there is no prickers or anything that will harm your body. So first I test it, and when I see that it's a perfectly proper place to sleep, then only do I offer it to you. And if I have to go to hell for making this offense, I don't mind. I don't mind going to hell forever, as long as you're comfortable sleeping on your bed, Guru Maharaj." What does this story reveal? Krishna accepts the purpose in which everything is offered. Although, from a ritualistic, legalistic point of view, he was making an offense, but his intention was so pure. His intention was unconditional loving service. And ultimately, Krishna and Guru accepts that intention. Another day, Ramanujacharya saw something very strange. In the courtyard of Sri Shailapurna's home in Tirupati, Govinda had his left hand around a venomous cobra, snake, and he had his right finger stuck in the mouth of the snake and down the snake's throat. And the snake was just writhing in pain. And Govinda just had his finger just stuck right in his throat, and the snake was going, "Because I'm a snake, I know how to do like this." So Ramanujacharya asked Govinda, "What are you doing?" "First of all, this is a deadly snake. If he bites you, you'll die. Why do you have your finger in his mouth? And second of all, why are you torturing this poor snake by sticking your finger down its throat?" This is not proper etiquette. And Govinda replied that, dear Ramanujacharya Dev, he said, I was watching this snake, and while he was eating, he swallowed a thorn. And because of that thorn was stuck in his throat and it was killing him. So out of compassion, not able to tolerate the pain of this snake, I stuck my finger in his mouth to get the thorn out. But now the thorn's out, so he's writhing in pain, but after some time he'll be very healthy and happy again. And sure enough, after a few minutes, the snake was smiling. Another time, Govinda, he would go out to collect water to bring back to his guru. But one day, he didn't return in time. He was sitting outside of the house of a prostitute on her steps. And Ramanujacharya said, Govinda, what are you doing? Sitting in the steps outside the house of a prostitute. And Govinda said, someone there inside are singing the glories of the Lord and I just can't stop listening to it. Ramanujacharya loved his cousin brother Govinda. And he prayed to Ranganath to send Govinda. He prayed to Balaji, Tirupati, to send Govinda back to Sri Rangam. And he begged Sri Shailapurna. Sri Shailapurna was so happy with Ramanujacharya, he said, I'll do anything for you. You have served so nicely, I will do anything you want. What would you like? And Ramanujacharya said, please let your disciple Govinda come back with me to Sri Rangam. He said, yes, let him go. So Govinda came. And they came down to Kanchipuram first. And Kanchipurna was asked by Ramanujacharya to pray to Varadraj to give Govinda pure unalloyed love for his spiritual master and Krishna. And Kanchipurna said, I will make this prayer. However, I see in Govinda's face that he's very unhappy. Although he's obedient to his guru's order and he loves you more than anything, he's given his life and soul to Sri Shailapurna. He saved his life. He's feeling very, very despondent to be in separation from him. Please send him back to his guru and make him happy. So Ramanujacharya said to Govinda, go back to Tirupati and live with Sri Shailapurna. And Govinda was blissful to go back to be with Gurudev. So he went all the way back to Tirupati, such a long distance. He walked all the way, he climbed the mountain, he went to the ashram of Sri Shailapurna. He hadn't eaten for days. And when he arrived, Sri Shailapurna completely neglected him. Didn't even call him for prasad. Sri Shailapurna's wife was feeling, what's happening? Why is he treating him so cruelly? So right in front of Govinda, the wife asked Sri Shailapurna, why don't you at least invite Govinda to eat prasad? He's hungry. He hasn't eaten for days. Sri Shailapurna would not look at Govinda. He said to his wife, in a way that Govinda could hear, he said, you do not feed a horse that you've already sold to someone else. Hare Krishna. Govinda was in ecstasy. He understood that it was genuinely Sri Shailapurna's desire that he be the servant of Ramanujacharya in Sri Rangam. So at that time, he blissfully went back to Srirangam and spent the rest of his life in the service of Ramanujacharya. Meanwhile, Govinda's mother came to Srirangam and told Ramanujacharya that many years ago Govinda was married and he's been up with his guru for all these years. He doesn't even know what his wife looks like. But now, you know, she's old. She wants to have a baby. So please send him home so that they could have babies together. So Ramanujacharya told Govinda, you must go home and you must spend night with your wife. So Govinda went home. Ramanujacharya gave him this instruction that household life means you perform your bhajan and you perform your seva and become purified. And then in that purified state, you serve your family and have children. That is grihastha life. So Govinda went home. But then he returned to Ramanujacharya and said, I went home and I spent the night with my wife, but all I could do is tell her about Lord Narayan. He said, I was thinking like this, that I'm doing my bhajan and my heart becomes purified. If my heart becomes purified, I don't want a wife or children. I just want exclusive 100% dedication to Guru and Lord Narayan without any distraction. So Ramanujacharya said to Govinda that everyone should choose the ashram according to their temperament. Your temperament is that of a sannyasi. You should take sannyas. So Ramanujacharya called Govinda's mother, Deeptimati, got the blessings of her, got the blessings of the wife, got the blessings of everyone, and on that same day, Ramanujacharya awarded Govinda initiation as sannyasi. Should I continue? Now we have two choices. We have to leave this place at 8 o'clock, which is less than 1 hour. We could have kirtan now, and devotees can also go for darshans. And then we could continue our narration tomorrow at the Shiva Kanchi temple. Or we can just carry on now for the next hour. We will have vote. The first vote is Harinam Kirtan, and whoever wants to disappear and go for the darshans of Varadraj may go. And the second option is for many of you to get a good night's sleep by sitting through my lecture. Now, but if we choose number one, we can speak tomorrow also. So you can loudly chant Hari Bol according to your preference. How many people vote for number one? How many vote for number two? You must be really tired. We'll take the vote again. How many vote for Nam Sankirtan and Darshan of the Deities? How many vote for continuing the narration? So I'll let all of you be the judge. How many vote that there was a louder Hari Bol for number one? Govinda, what should we do? It seems like quite equal. It sounded like everybody voted for both. At least from where I'm sitting, that's what it sounded like. Govinda says Darshan Kirtan and we continue the narration tomorrow. Should I tell one more story? I will tell it tomorrow. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very, very much.